ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट नंबर 38 And I require a book. Sa Veda Dhatuh Padavim Parasya Duranta Viryasya Rasangapane Amayaya Santataya Anuvritya Bhajet Saveda dhatu padavim parasya Duranta virjasya dathanga pane Yomaya ya santatayano vritya Bhajeta tatpada saroja gantham Saveda dhatu padavim parasya Duranta virjasya yaratanga pane Yomaya ya santatayano vritya Bhajeta tatpada saroja gantham Saveda dhatu padavim parasya Duranta virya rathanga pane Yomaya ya santadayanu vritya Bhajeta tatpada saroja gantham Saveda dhatu padavim parasya Duranta viryasya radhanga pane Yomaya ya santatayanu vritya Bhajeta tatpada saroja gantham Saveda dhatu padavim parasya Duranta viryasya radhanga pane Yomaya ya santatayanu vritya Bhajeta tatpada saroja gantham Ladies. Tatpada Saroja Gantham. Sa, he alone, Veda can know. Dhatu of the Creator. Padavim, glories. Parasya, of the transcendence. Durantavirasya, of the greatly powerful. Ratha Angapane, of Lord Krishna, who bears in his hand the wheel of a chariot. Yaha, one who, Amayaya, without reservation. Santataya, without any gap. Anuvrittya, favorably. Bhajeta, renders service. Tatpada, of his feet. Sarojagantham, fragrance of the lotus. Translation. Only those who render unreserved, uninterrupted, favorable service unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who carries the wheel of the chariot in his hand, can know the Creator of the universe in his full glory, power, and transcendence. Please repeat. Only those who render unreserved, uninterrupted, favorable service unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who carries the wheel of the chariot in his hand, can know the Creator of the universe in his full glory, power, and transcendence. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, founder and acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, savior of the modern world, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Only the pure devotees can know the transcendental name. Only the pure devotees can know the transcendental name, form, and activities of Lord Krishna, due to their being completely freed from the reactions of fruitive work and mental speculation. The pure devotees have nothing to derive as personal profit from their unalloyed service to the Lord. They render favorable service to the Lord incessantly and spontaneously, without any reservation. Everyone within the creation of the Lord is rendering service to the Lord indirectly or directly. No one is an exception to this law of the Lord. Those who are rendering service indirectly, being forced by his illusory agent, by the illusory agent of the Lord, are rendering service unto him unfavorably. But those who are rendering service unto him directly, under the direction of his beloved agent, are rendering service unto him favorably. Such favorable servitors are devotees of the Lord. And by the grace of the Lord, they can enter into the mysterious region of transcendence by the mercy of the Lord. But the mental speculators remain in darkness all the time. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord himself guides the pure devotees toward the path of realization due to their constant engagement in the loving service of the Lord in spontaneous affection. That is the secret of entering into the kingdom of God. fruitive activities and speculation are no qualifications for entering. Om jnana timarantasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave nama shri chaitanya mano bhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamahyam dadati swapadantikam vandeham shri guroho shri yuta padakamadam shri gurun vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha, Kripa Sindho Bhyayvacha, Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Saveda Dhatu Padavim Parasya Duranta Viryasya Yarvatsartanga Panehe Yo Amayaya Santatayanu Vritya Bhajeta Tat Parasa Rojagandham. A beautiful purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. I don't know how much meaning one can pack into one sentence, but Srila Prabhupada does it all the time. Let's look at this first sentence of his purport once again. Only the pure devotees can know the transcendental name. There are different kinds of names. It's not always transcendental. We know this from the teachings of our acharyas. Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the Mayavadis of Banaras, they were also chanting the names of God, indirect names of Krishna. What kind of names were they chanting? Brahma, Ishwara, Atma, even Chaitanya, with a different understanding. And Prabhupada writes in that connection that they actually never come in contact with the Lord through that chanting. Neither do they intend the Lord by that chanting, neither do they perceive the Lord through that chanting. So there are three stages of chanting: the offensive stage, the clearing stage, and the pure stage. Those who are non-devotees and have no intention of service to the Lord, this is the point, those people never get the transcendental name. Even those of us who are chanting with some sympathy or some faith or some even sentiment, we may be clearing away offenses if we are sincere. That's always a temporary phase. This is the point to note. At some point, we have to make a decision. Just like when an elevator, if you're in an elevator and the elevator door opens, you have to make a decision. Everyone. Either you're going to stay on the elevator and go wherever the next person pushes the button, or you get out of the elevator. Human life is like that. So at some point, Krishna, we all have the experience. Krishna is revealing to us our anarthas as we are chanting, hopefully, in the clearing stage. And it can be discouraging. Yesterday we heard about the people who have no chance of understanding the Lord. I'll just repeat. The foolish with a poor fund of knowledge cannot know the transcendental nature of the forms, names, and activities of the Lord, who is playing like an actor in a drama. Nor can they express such things, neither in their speculations nor in their words. Today we're hearing, on the other hand, the qualifications of the person who would be able to appreciate or even perceive these things. The transcendental name, the transcendental form, the transcendental activities, etc. This is the point. So, and there are six words here are significant. First of all, parasya, durantavirasya, and rathangaparnehe. Those all refer to the same thing, who is a person, namely Krishna. And how do we worship this Krishna? Amayaya, santataya, and anuvrtya. That's the third line. These are adjectival phrases, you can say. They are adverbial phrases. They tell us how you're going to do this. Okay, so that's the whole topic of the verse. The principle here is that yo bhajeta sa veda. The person who worships, that person knows. And if we don't worship, then we don't know. This is the thing. So this can be discouraging. Somebody was telling me yesterday about this. You know, I feel like there's no way I can get love of Godhead in this life. It sometimes is discouraging because this is a tall order. Nobody's doing this. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita himself, he says, Mam tu vedana kashchana, nobody knows me. I know everything, past, present, and future, but me, nobody knows. Practically speaking, and we're given some statistics also by the Lord directly in Bhagavad Gita. What is the verse? Manushyanam sahasreshu. Out of 1,000 people, maybe one person is even inclined at all towards anything dharmic, what to speak of spiritual life. Because dharma can be mundane. Dharma can be completely within the realm of karma as well. Mundane dharma. And he says, but out of those persons who are striving for something above this mundane realm, hardly one person understands me. So 1 in 1,000,000 it comes out to. 1 out of 1,000 out of 1,000, that means 1 in 1,000,000. So it can be discouraging. We'll say some more about that. First of all, so Srila Prabhupada writes, only the pure devotees can know the transcendental name, form, and activities of Lord Krishna due to their being completely freed from the reactions. What kind of reactions? Two kinds of reactions. One is from karmic things that you've done in the past, either good karma or bad karma. Both of them can stop you from devotional service. And the other kind of reaction is the reaction of mental speculation. We're doing this all the time. Srila Prabhupada sometimes translates it as gambling or concocting in our minds so many ideas. This is mostly what we do, in fact. And as I mentioned already, when we're chanting in the clearing stage, we begin to realize, oh my God, I'm concocting. I'm inventing a whole idea that doesn't exist about spiritual life, about Krishna consciousness, about the Lord himself, about where I stand, etc., etc., etc. So this is the first thing that Srila Prabhupada hits us with, like a sledgehammer. A very strong statement here, actually, if we think about it. Then he says, pure devotees have nothing to derive as personal profit from their unalloyed service to the Lord. This is another challenge for us, because hardly are we interested in gyan. Most of us are interested in some sort of payback. That means karma. And we approach devotional service in the same spirit. And even though Srila Prabhupada warned us, personal ambition will ruin everything, we still do it. Without saying anything, without talking about it, without acknowledging or doing anything about it, we do this all the time. And that's why we don't cry when we sing the holy names of Krishna. That's why we don't even, sometimes we don't even sing. So, this is the next thing. Then Prabhupada, I mentioned already there are six words that are favorable, or that are significant in this verse. Three of them are adverbs, and Prabhupada addresses these now. He says, they render, the devotees, that is, they render favorable service to the Lord incessantly and spontaneously, in other words, without any reservation. These three adverbs translate the terms anuvrittya, which Sridhar Swami glosses as anukulyena, means favorably, according to the Lord's desire. all the acharyas, actually, they all agree on this, is what it means. Seva, serving. Service attitude means favorable service. Without favorable service, then it's not really considered devotional service. That's why Srila Prabhupada next describes indirect or direct devotional service. Everyone is actually serving. You can't erase that. You can only efface it. You can't get rid of that tendency. We all have the tendency to serve. But when we serve indirectly, it's unfavorable. This is all Srila Prabhupada has spent the majority of his purport actually unpacking this phrase, anuvritti. Anuvritti, normally in the dictionary definition, it means something that is suitably or compliant, or, you know, in a way that is respectful or following submissively. Whenever we see this prefix anu, usually it implies that anu means that. So anuvritti, anukula, etc. We find the word is there. And Rupa Goswami has also used the same word anukulya. Anybody know the verse in his definition of devotional service in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? Well, that's one use. It's the one I'm thinking of is anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karnamadhyanavratam anukulyena krishnanushilanam. And he glosses the meaning of the word in that verse itself. Krishnanushilanam, in a way that pleases Krishna. Service means to please the person that you're serving. My wife told me the other day, there's one eccentric woman comes here. We see her every Sunday, usually dancing in ecstasy in front of the deities. So she was chanting very loud. Someone told her something, and she immediately started berating that person in front of the deities in a loud voice. I'm talking to Krishna. How can you bother me? This doesn't please Krishna, this kind of behavior. In fact, it's explicitly prohibited in the Nectar of Devotion as well. So now Srila Prabhupada translates this word. He's giving his synonyms here. Favorably, anuvritya. In his purport, he says, also, incessantly, spontaneously, without any reservation. Those are the other terms. But anyway, this is the idea. Favorable service. This is what we have to work. And the next thing Srila Prabhupada says in his purport is that if we're going to serve the Lord directly, then we have to do so under the direction of his beloved agent. That is what it means to render service favorably. Krishna does not accept service from a person who doesn't have a sponsor for his soul. This is the essence of it. We've already offended Krishna. We've already left of our own accord. We've already turned. In fact, every minute of every day, we're turning, making the wrong decision. Bhagavatam calls us parangmukha. Parangmukha means we've turned our face away from the Lord. Or elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, it's also said, Ishat Apeta, we've gone away from the Lord. This is our mood. This is our spirit. So the spirit that has to be cultivated instead is a favorable spirit, service attitude. And that can be taught. It takes training. It requires training from a bona fide spiritual master. So if we can do that, then such persons, Prabhupada writes, such favorable servitors are devotees of the Lord, and by the grace of the Lord they can enter into the mysterious region of transcendence by the mercy of the Lord. And we know the mercy of the Lord is, what do we call the mercy of the Lord? His divine grace. His divine grace. So, these are some things. Now, Veda, what does it mean, Veda, to know? Sridhar Swami says, Katanchit Janati. They can know something of the Lord. You can't know everything of the Lord. Nobody knows everything of the Lord. But we can know something if we are devotees. Katanchit. And similarly, Vijayadvaj Tirtha, he glosses the same term. Kidrisho Vedeti. They know in some way. In a specific way, we all know also. So you can know something of the Lord, and you can know it in a certain way according to your spirit. According to your mood of devotional service, you will get a corresponding realization. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, his comment is very brief on this verse. He simply says, bhakti gamyatvam aha, in this verse. This is to show that the Lord is attained only through bhakti. So, Saveda, he knows. What does he know? Dhatu. Dhatu means, Prabhupada is glossing here in the word-for-word synonyms. Anybody remember? Of the Creator. So, Vijayadvaj Tirtha raises a doubt here. Somebody may say that Dhatu means Brahma, because Dhatu is another name for Lord Brahma, actually, Creator. And therefore, he points out, the word is used here next, Parasya, of the superior person. Para means either transcendental or superior person. Now, even then, someone may argue that, well, Lord Brahma is definitely a superior person, so he qualifies as Parasya as well, so he can still be Lord Brahma. So therefore, he points out that the word is used here, Ratangapani. Ratangapani. What does it mean, Ratangapani? He holds the wheel in his hand. Who holds the wheel? Lord Vishnu also holds the wheel, correct? So the other acharyas, they're not going to give us information about this. Holding the disc can also mean Lord Vishnu, any Vishnu form, practically speaking. They all hold the Sudarshan Chakra. This we get from Srila Prabhupada. He tells us. Specifically, he inserts this into his translation. Favorable service under the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who carries the wheel of the chariot in his hand. We all know the story. When at the Battle of Kurukshetra, Lord Krishna decided he's not going to take up a weapon, but at the same time he was so furious that he had to do something to save his devotee, so he took the wheel of a chariot and used that as a weapon. He can do it. So this is, therefore he became famous as Chakradhari. Just like he's Govardhanadhari, he's also Chakradhari, a specific name of Lord Krishna in particular. Okay, but generally, other acharyas, they'll only understand that the Lord Ratangapani refers to Lord Narayan. And this is exactly what Vijayadvaj Tirtha tells us in his commentary. Ratangapanehe means Sri Narayanasya, the Lord who is Sri Narayana. Who is Sri Narayana? The Narayana of Sri. Narayana of Sri. Lakshmi is Narayana, in other words. Okay. Now let's talk about these most important terms, because in Sridhar Swami's commentary, he spends most of his time just glossing these three terms. The way that we render, how do you render service? So first thing, amayaya. I've already given a definition of the word. It means to be not cunning, to be sincere, to be free from deceit. Amayaya. Srila Prabhupada says a little differently in his gloss here. He says, without reservation. So that's another angle that we can look at, and certainly that's within the realm of definitions. Every Sanskrit word has many definitions, so sometimes we have to consider these things. Okay, so amayaya. Sridhar Swami says it means akutila bhavena. Akutila bhav, not tricky, not calculating, not deceitful. See? Akutila bhava. And Viragavacharya says in another angle, he says, maya guna kamadi rahitaya, being bereft of the things of this created by the gunas of Mahamaya in this world. What kind of qualities are those? Kamadi. We know there are six of them. Kama, Krodha, Mada, Moha, Matsarya, Eva, Ityadi. So this is his angle. Amaya means without Maya. That's what it means. Now Vijayadvaj Tirtha takes it even further. Very interesting. He says, it means, idam akhilam maya kalpitam anirvachyam nabhavatiti bhavena. With having a mood that in which one is not thinking that all this is all concoctions of maya, it's actually the absolute truth is anirvachya. Anirvachya means ineffable or inconceivable, in effect, is what it means. So whose philosophy is he attacking there? Exactly. Because who says this? All this stuff is maya kalpita. It's all concoction of maya. This is why we call them mayavadis. Because they're all talking about maya. And that's why we're called Vaishnavas, because we're also always talking about Vishnu. So Mayavad, illusionism, I've seen it translated sometimes. The philosophy that everything, all the variety that you see, it's all an illusion. So Vijayadwaj Tirtha, of course, he belongs to the which sampradaya? Anybody know? Madhva sampradaya. So naturally, he's an enthusiastic opponent of Mayavad philosophy. It's very strong in that line. And in their founder Acharya's teachings and in most of the Acharyas since that. So he's very quick to point this out. One is not thinking. A Mayaya for him means somebody is not thinking that this all this bhakti and all the Lord and everything, it's all nonsense. It's all Maya Kalpita Guna. Maya Guna Kalpita. That's an important point. Okay? So those are three different kind of slightly different ways to look at the same word. Santataya. Santata means the same thing as satata. What does satata mean? Satatam kirtayantoma. Exactly. Always. And Sridhar Swami glosses it in that way. Nirantaraya. Viragavacharya takes it as anusyutaya, which means the same thing in effect. Vijayadwaj Tirtha takes it as pravaharupaya, means a continuous stream. No gaps. This is the dictionary definition. Incessant, without any gaps. This is, I think, Prabhupada has actually translated in these exact words. Yeah, exactly. Without any gap. Eternal, that means, therefore, constant, continuous. This is the idea. And then finally, we come to anuvrtya. Anuvrtya, every acharya says it means one thing, sevaya. And we've learned this in Bhagavad Gita. Where does the word sevaya occur? Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. And again, it's tied to the spiritual master we've already discussed. So this is the third thing. Sridhar Swami says it means, I mentioned already, anukulyena, favorable. Everybody agrees with this. Now, bhajeta, practically speaking, few of the acharyas say anything about this word, because it's very obvious what it means. Bhajeta, even if you don't know Sanskrit, you can guess. Bhaja means to worship. And not just worship, because you can say instead, you can say maybe pujayet, to formally worship, but bhaja means with love. Prabhupada points this out through in his Bhagavad Gita commentary. Bhaja, you can only use this word if there's a question of love involved. And love we've already defined. Or Rupa Goswami has already defined. It's freed from karma and gyan. It's unmotivated, uninterrupted, favorable service that pleases Krishna. That is what it means. So bhajeta, one should do it in this way. This is the point. Viragavacharya takes it a slightly different direction. He says, bhajeta means anubhavet. Anubhavet. Those who speak Indian languages, even now we use this word in Hindi. Anubhav karna hai. Iska matlab kya hai? Anybody know? To experience something. Bhakti means experience. Yaswanu bhavam akhila shruti saramekam. In the beginning, we've heard this verse already. Yaswanu bhavam. This Bhagavatam consists of nothing but the experience of Shukadeva Goswami. Personal experience. This is the point. And this is why we should be afraid. Because we may not have so much, or we may not feel we have so much experience. But this is how Viragavacharya takes it. Vijayadwaj Tirtha, similarly, he says, Atra eva asvadya magnamana bhavet. One should become fully absorbed mentally in relishing only this thing. It's the same, another way of saying the same thing. Exclusive, uninterrupted, favorable, devotional service. And one should become very absorbed in tasting this, the sweetness of bhakti. Very sweet. So, tat pada saroja gandham. Somebody who is meeting all these qualifications, that person can understand whom? Vijayadwaj Tirtha tells us, hrit kamala madhya nivasinaha. Tasya padaravindam. The lotus feet of that person who is sitting within all of our hearts. In other words, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, especially in his Krishna form, as we've already mentioned. So Srila Prabhupada, he then, at the end of his purport, he brings it back to ground level for us and tells us that Who do we have to watch out for? Mental speculators and fruitive workers. And is he attacking someone else or is he attacking us? That question we all have to honestly ask, and that's why we chant Hare Krishna, because without the help of the holy name, we cannot honestly ask. We cannot honestly do anything, in fact. So Srila Prabhupada concludes here, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord himself guides the pure devotees toward the path of realization due to their constant engagement in the loving service of the Lord in spontaneous affection. What Bhagavad Gita verse is he referring to here? Yeah, it sounds like that, doesn't it? But that's not what Viraghavacharya quotes here. Instead, Viraghavacharya kind of agrees more with the point made by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He's quoting Bhagavad Gita, chapter 11, text 54. Anybody know that verse? Bhaktyat vananyaya shakya aham evam vidhorjana jnatum drashtum cha tatvena praveshtum cha parantapa. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and can thus be seen directly. Srila Prabhupada has already dilated on this word in his purport, directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. Srila Prabhupada has also talked about the mysteries of understanding Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada has a very long purport. We don't have time to read it, but it's quite relevant to today's verse. It's worth reviewing. Very nice verse. Now why would Viraghavacharya quote this verse? Of all the possible verses, it makes this very basic point that the Lord is understood by bhakti. Anybody have any ideas about this? Huh? Yeah. Well, why is he quoting this verse from the 11th canto, whereas it appears that Prabhupada is quoting this verse from the 11th chapter, whereas it appears that Prabhupada is quoting this verse from chapter 10? There are many, many verses that establish the superiority of bhakti. So why that verse? Yeah, that's right. So he could have quoted that verse. Why is he quoting this one? Bhaktyat vananyaya shakya. What is the context in which he spoke that verse? He had just shown the universal form to Arjuna, and Arjuna rejected that universal form. He showed his Vishnu Rupa to Arjuna, and Arjuna also wanted to go back to the two-handed form. Srila Prabhupada makes this point in the end of his purport on that verse. The universal form is not attractive for pure devotees who are in love with the Lord in different transcendental relationships. The Supreme Godhead exchanges transcendental love in his original form of Krishna. Therefore, Arjuna, who was so intimately related with Krishna in friendship, to Arjuna, this form of the universal manifestation was not pleasing. Rather, it was fearful. Arjuna, who was a constant companion of Krishna's, must have had transcendental eyes. He wasn't an ordinary man. Therefore, he was not captivated by the universal form. This form may seem wonderful to persons who are involved in elevating themselves by fruitive activities, but to persons who are engaged in devotional service, the two-handed form of Krishna is the most dear, in my opinion, for what it's worth. That's why the goddess of learning inspired Viraghavacharya to quote that verse. Because by the divine grace of Srila Prabhupada, we can pick it up. And Prabhupada has made it very clear for us in this purport to that verse. Okay, I'm going to stop here. Does anybody have any questions or any comments? Yes, Prabhuji. Yes. So that you can understand the Lord or entering into the kingdom of God. So what about the demon like Putana? Yeah. Because he also, Yeah, that would fall into the category of kutila bhavina seva that Sridhar Swami has mentioned. She had a motive. But even there, Krishna gave her mercy. That is what we call causeless mercy. Sometimes, even the person who doesn't deserve anything, sometimes the person who deserves to be crushed in hell, he gives mercy to that person. And sometimes we see also devotees who are sincere in anyone's estimation. They're very ardently worshiping the Lord, but they don't get the goal, so soon at least. You see? So therefore we call it causeless mercy. It is inconceivable. And it is immeasurable. Aparakuruna sindhu. He's an immeasurable ocean of mercy. And it's important to keep this in mind because our tendency while we're in the mood of kutila bhav or maya bhav, our tendency is to try to take advantage of the Lord or to try to manipulate the Lord, do something that will make him do something else for us. You see, we're constantly doing like this. I mentioned this in the beginning. We're constantly scheming. This is what it means. Amayaya means not scheming like that. You see? And when we're reminded that it doesn't matter how much or how little service you've done, when the Lord wants to give you mercy, then you're carried automatically. You'll be taken back to Godhead. Rupa Goswami, in the end of one of his very exalted books of poetry, I don't remember which one it is now, there's a very interesting statement he makes. He said, I'm describing all these wonderful pastimes of the Lord and wonderful characteristics and qualities of the Lord, but in fact, I can't guarantee that I'm going to be taken back to Godhead. He says, even Brahma and Lord Shiva, they cannot attain this Lord sometimes. So who am I? In another verse, I was mentioning in the beginning, sometimes we're discouraged to hear all these high qualifications for devotional service. But in another verse, Rupa Goswami points this out, even Lord Brahma, he cannot approach the tips of the toenails of Lord Krishna's lotus feet. He says, Tadapi nakhagra marijim, no? But at the same time, he said, who am I then? This is the implication. He said, at the same time, I've heard of the wonderful waves, Tadapi kripad bhuta vijim, the wonderful waves of the Lord's mercy. Or in yet another verse, he says, when I hear of the devotional service that was rendered by the ancients, what to speak of ancients? Sometimes we look at our parents and think, how can I ever qualify the way that they have? You see? So Rupa Goswami says, when I look at the devotional service rendered by the ancients, I just wonder, how is it going to be possible? He said, but when I understand the inconceivable nature and the immeasurable nature of the Lord's mercy, then I have some hope. This, he calls this ashabandha. Ashabandha means to be bound up with this hope against hope. We don't have a chance. It's a fact. We will never get ourselves anywhere by our own endeavors. That is a fact. But we keep trying anyways. And when the Lord's mercy causelessly arrives, his mercy is infinite. It's inconceivable. It's very wonderful. Then we're automatically carried along. Is that okay? It's a long answer to a short question. All right. Anything else? Otherwise, we can stop here. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.